for liftoff. The clock has started. Roger.
This is Morning Show. Here are your hosts, Kyle and Kenny.
Good morning, Kenny.
Good morning to you, Sir Kyle.
A very good morning to you, because it's your birthday. Woo!
Yeah.
It's your birthday.
It's not a big one, so it doesn't really count or matter.
Now, hold on. Wait.
Last year, so I made it.
Congratulations. Everything's great. Well, I'm glad you're here.
I just like to slurp the coffee right into the mic too.
Not just for another. Give me one more. Give me like a clean one. Can we start from? Yeah, go ahead.
Here we go. Okay.
I didn't get no. And nope. The gate got all of that. I couldn't hear a thing.
Drat.
Wonderful. Well, it's real good to have you here, not just for another year, but for this program today on Frederdurgel 13th, 2018.
You better not forget this day.
Better not forget
how this date is supposed to be pronounced.
I also don't forget that we are live when we do this show. You can join in and watch us live as it happens. Well, technically it's a tiny bit delayed, but don't worry about that. You can join the chat room, listen, or watch live on Twitch. You can actually put your phone, if you have the Twitch app, on audio-only mode if you just don't want to see our ugly mugs.
Which you really shouldn't.
Highly recommended, I would say. Highly recommended. If you've never seen us, don't ruin the illusion. But what you want to do, Kenny, go over to goodstuff.fm/live or open the Twitch app and search for goodstuff_FM. Give us a follow, and we will send you a notification when we are live.
Audio only.
Yeah. So, I'm glad you're here for your birthday. Yippee. Good job. Two.
Huzzah for you.
Huzzah. Two. How was everything? How was your drive yesterday? How did you survive that?
So I don't know. Did we make mention of this last week?
We kind of covered what we were going to do this last weekend. We will get more into depth on what exactly we did this weekend after the headlines. But Kenny, my weekend was great. I had a wonderful weekend. Celebrating not only your birthday but Carolyn, my wife's birthday. It was a great time, but you had to drive back, and
I made it.
You're fine. You're good.
Last time I drove back. last time with the flu. I had the flu last time, and that was actually my wife and I both had.
Wait. You flew last time. I thought you drove last time.
I flew into a wastebasket.
That's not what we call them here either.
A waste bin. The drive was fine. Does LA have traffic 24/7?
Wait. That needs to be a lot bigger. Yes, LA has traffic 24/7. Bigger, yeah.
Hey, Belle, can you get bigger? Bigger.
I think I can, actually. No, that's as big as it gets. Sorry.
Okay. You know, idiots on the road.
Lots of traffic. Okay.
Yeah. Nothing. And that's it. Honestly, nothing special about yesterday. Yeah.
Great. Good. Well, speaking of LA.
Nothing to complain about.
Yeah. Speaking of LA, I found basically like our church. I found a place.
The Morning Show Church?
That just embodies everything that we're about. And I, oh, my, hold on. My cursor is going over your face right now. And this, it's really distracting me. I found a place, Kenny, that sells refrigerated cold pizza. The place is called Pizza Nizza. Is that Pizza Nista? Pizza Nizza. Eat some pizza at Pizza Nista.
Nista. Like barista.
Barista, yeah, but for pizza. Pour it into a glass. It's cold. It's an iced pizza drink.
No. No.
So you can go there, and they have, I sent you a photo, but I will also put this into the show notes. goodstuff.fm/morningshow/381. They have day-old and cold pizzas wrapped up in saran wrap and put into a fridge in a bin.
By the slice.
By the slice.
Yeah, you have to make sure that you say that because you could also...
Individually wrapped by the slice.
There you go.
And they're available for a dollar.
Yeah, you don't want to... Wow, a dollar. That's... And how much are these slices...
regularly?
Hot off, yeah,
I hot believe out of the oven. Like more than $3.50, $4.
And a buck for the same slice.
I can get four of them for the cost of one hot slice. It's nice. So good.
That wasn't the only pizza that we had this weekend. I didn't have it with me.
No, you're right. It was not the only pizza that we had this weekend. But oh
we had... Well, I can't talk about it?
No, please hold it in. Shove it. Shove that back into that maw of yours. I've got a brief story to cover here regarding the cold pizza, Kenny.
Oh, I see.
The question is, do you really have to refrigerate those cold leftover pizza slices? Could they have just left them out and said, here you go. You want room temperature pizza?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
So let's say you had an office party and you catered.
Hey guys,
welcome
to my office party.
Yeah, you're in my office.
I'm having a party. It's my birthday.
We catered Domino's for your birthday office party.
No.
I'm sorry.
Our party's canceled. How dare you? How dare you bring Domino's to my birthday party? This was my pizza birthday office party.
Shame everyone was just so busy, so with all their reports and meetings, that after the party, they left the pizza out. So you're wondering, do you really have to refrigerate that pizza? Can't you just leave it out? Well, Benjamin Chapman, a food safety specialist over at North Carolina University, says that people don't end up getting sick from unrefrigerated pizza often enough for it to be an issue on public health. So it seems, yes, it's not an issue at the moment, but what you have to watch out for are if any of the pizzas have like watery ingredients, places like little nooks and crannies for bacteria to get right in there.
Well, and also, I mean, leaving it exposed to the elements. Hey, phone, shush. Sorry, I don't know if you could hear that.
But I could hear that. You don't need to keep telling me that I could hear it.
Everything can be heard in my office party. Shh, guys, keep it down. We're having a party, but this is my pizza. I sound a little bit like Arnold right there. Guys, get down. What are you doing?
It's my
pizza.
Put the
pizza in your mouths. I can leave pizza out, but closed box.
Okay.
Like I said, exposed to the elements, like air is getting in it and a cat is stepping on it accidentally. I don't know. The office cat.
This office is strange. Yeah. I don't like this office. You typically though, I know you are a fan of like pineapple on pizza. Do you like do you like any other watery ingredients? Jason's asking, like Jell-O on your pizza.
Jell-O pizza. The only other thing that I really prefer on my pizza is like sun-dried tomatoes,
which are probably pretty bad.
But they're dry.
I would say, yeah. As you keep that box cold, and as those sun-dried tomatoes plump back up, the whatever bacteria was stuck in there is probably going to flourish.
Anyway.
So it sounds pretty bad. Anyway. But, Kenny, if you just do like pepperoni pizza, that's fine. It's even sold at room temperature. So you don't really have to worry about pep pizzas.
Yeah.
But like green peppers or, you know,
chicken.
You got to make sure that those are baked to heck so that all the water comes out of them.
All right.
So word of warning.
But here on morning show, we are hashtag cold team cold pizza. That's how I meant to say that.
Team no diseases, mostly.
Correct. So we refrigerate no matter what. Or we're not in the business of leaving a pizza out for room temp. That's not, you don't leave it out and then put it in the fridge. That's not how that works. You put it in the fridge.
It's also not cool. It's not one of those. It's not one of those things too, where like you've seen the pictures of McDonald's food when you leave them out for like 15 right. years and it looks identical to the day that you bought it.
Yeah. Bun doesn't move.
Right. Yes. That's not like pizza. A pizza goes bad in like a day. So just, you know, heed our advice. Heed our advice. Put it in the fridge. Save it for later. Hashtag Team Cold Pizza. Kenny, let's get to the headlines.
These are today's headlines.
That's right.
All right, Kyle. Researchers put 3D glasses on a praying mantis and discovered a new type of vision. Is that the Marvel character?
4K.
Vision? Oh, for prey. Yeah! Woo! Okay, Kyle. Using beeswax as an adhesive, a team at the University of Newcastle affixed lenses to a praying mantis face, being careful not to cause injury because I guess eyeballs hurt. One lens was green and the other was blue, a setup that allowed scientists to control what each eye could see. The scientists then projected films onto a screen in front of the insects. The first film featured a moving dot, which the mantises attacked, demonstrating that they could perceive depth if an object moved. Then the dot was manipulated to move in two different directions, a disparity that would prevent human eyes from comprehending the image, but the mantises still attacked.
Maybe they're just aggressive. Maybe what we discovered.
You're picking the wrong insect.
Maybe what we discovered is that they like to prey on dots, and it's mostly just dots. It's that's their ideal food source.
Dots the candy.
Are you kidding?
They get stuck in your teeth. Pull out the fillings. Pull out the teeth. Even.
When did that happen?
Oh, I haven't pulled out the tooth with a dot. I pulled out fillings with a dot.
Just now and laters. Now and laters are the ones that pull teeth. Those can pull. Those could probably pull the bones out of your jaw.
That sounds awful. I'm actually picturing it now, and it's so grotesque. I just wanted a candy. Oh, no,
I didn't want the grape one. The grape ones actually pull bones.
So this study suggests that mantises have a previously unknown type of vision. It relies on targets moving around, but those movements don't necessarily have to match between the eye and the one eye and the other. It's based on motion over time rather than a direct comparison. If this all sounds like scientists, yeah, exactly. I think what they've discovered is it's not a new type of vision. It's existed before. It's just they're discovering a type of looking at things.
It's vision. The point is that what they want to do with this is they want to develop an algorithm based. No, they don't want to play two. Imagine that a praying mantis could watch two different movies at the same time
and attack both of them.
And attack both movies at the same time.
They want Guardians of the Galaxy 1 and 2.
1 and 2 at the same time. No. So small robots, basically, is what they're trying to use this for, so that they can look in two different directions. It sounds stupid, right? It's what I am most interested in is that they tried to put glasses onto a praying quote unquote glasses made of beeswax onto a praying mantis. Why?
Yeah.
Why? I'm sorry. If we have any, Charles,
what was your grant for? Oh yeah, I'm putting beeswax on praying mantises today. And then we're gonna play a movie in front of it.
And how much money? How many millions?
Like 60 million.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Doll hairs.
Good. Good. Very good.
All right. I've got some more science news here, Kyle, really quick to cover. And you can tell me if it's bunk or not. That's the game I'm gonna play with you right now.
No.
Scientists say the sun is expected to be unusually cool 2050.
So
it's a great headline. Just unusually cool 2050.
Cool
2050
is how cool it's going to be.
2050 degrees.
That's pretty cool. Pretty cold, actually. Ice cold.
30 years time, Kyle, the sun could be significantly cooler. Based on 20 years of observations and collected data, a research team at the University of California in San Diego has calculated that the sun will be 7% cooler and dimmer by 2050. I don't know how they're making this, you know, this discovery.
The whole point of this thing is that the sun moves in 11-year cycles where they experience active and quiet periods. You know a sun scientist. S-U-N. You should go talk to him about this.
Where were we? Oh, the research team led by physicist Dan Lubin. Hello, Dan Lubin. You believe they have figured out a way to track the sun's 11-year cycle. Wait, 11 years? I thought you said in 30 years. What's happening? Well, he's going to explain here.
That's right. Keep reading.
Here we go. Here's more. The sun moves through an 11-year cycle where it experiences active and quiet periods, as Kyle has just said, known as the solar maximum and the solar minimum. During a solar minimum, the sun's magnetism decreases, fewer sunspots form, and less ultraviolet radiation makes it to the surface of the planet. This one, the one we are standing on, Terra Firma.
I think it's all planets. The sun's radiation goes to all planets.
But this is the only one that really matters. Okay. So the conditions mean the sun's surface appear clearer and it becomes dimmer. Now scientists believe they have worked out when the next solar minimum could occur. How's about in 11 years? I don't know this is news.
No. So what's going to happen is that there's going to be a grand minimum.
Grand minimum.
A grande minimum, please.
Can I get a grande minimum? Hold the sunspots.
We don't have that size here, sir. Sorry. But we can pour you an iced pizza drink.
Ooh.
So on this grand minimum, that's basically where the cycle of the sun is lower at these points. Maybe we do need an actual scientist to explain these things to us, but if you can imagine this, the last time that this happened, the Baltic Sea froze in 1968.
And in 1968, were they like, whoa, the sun, grand minimum? No, that's just weather. I think it's not weather.
It's space weather. It's the actual sun.
So 68. How many years ago was that? 50, right? 50 years ago, this happened. In just 30 years, it's going to happen again. So maybe it's an 80-year cycle. How about you put that in your stupid headline? Unusually cool 2050.
There's a lot of folks writing about this, Kenny, and we've read some really good articles and we've seen some very bad ones. So correct. I wanted to make sure
we need experts. We need experts on this.
I just wanted to make sure that all our listeners understood there are the 11-year cycles and then there are these grand minimums and grand maximums. I'm sure there are grand maximums. We've got, you know, lots of sunspots and lots of CMEs, coronal mass ejections, coming our way at certain times of the year and certain years. So just make sure the sun's still there. Everything's going to be fine.
Grow the things for the pizza and put it on the pizza and Grand minimum doesn't make the pizza go away. That's all I care about.
It'll just make it colder. And I mean, that's probably even a much better thing to do.
That's not a bad thing, considering it's going to be about 130,000 degrees this summer.
Speaking of a bad thing.
This is not bad at all, Kyle, unless you're referring to something else. Gordon Ramsay gets his own insulting Alexa skill. Sorry. Echo skill. I shouldn't say that word. I'm sorry if I triggered.
You can so long as it's at the end of a sentence, right?
I don't know if it, you have one. Can it discern between its position in the sentence?
I don't have them anymore. I gave them to,
I know that you don't have them anymore, but you had one and you used it.
Hi mom. I hope you're still listening.
Celebrity chef Gordon Ramsay has built a career in insulting people for their questionable cooking, and now he has his own Amazon Alexa skill, where you can get his feedback on your kitchen talents by asking February, ask Gordon Ramsay what he thinks about my food. Really? You have to say February?
So I've replaced the word Alexa with February.
Okay, perfect. You can recreate the vibe from Kitchen Nightmares or Hell's Kitchen or Master Chef, where Ramsay brought tears to many home cooks and restaurateurs.
So if you want to cry, this is what you want, I guess.
When you want to cry with Gordon Ramsay screaming down your face, this is what you want to do. You can also say in the command what dish you have made, for instance, mac and cheese, fried chicken, or a casserole, but there aren't personalized comments on specific dishes. It's just kind of a general insult because you suck. The skill, which is rated mature, was produced with the help of ground control and blah, 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 shiggity schwa. Who cares how they did it? We just want it to happen, right? I want this on my Google so that I can hear Ramsay.
On your Google Home. Yeah, that's not going to happen. It seems as though he has lent his voice to a number of different Amazon products, and he will probably only be there for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, they could also have pulled a ton of audio from all of his shows, all of the insults that he has done in his shows, and had enough content right there. They didn't even have to have him record anything. So there's that as well.
So what you're saying is we should do bootleg Gordon Ramsay insults and put them onto the Google Home.
Or just onto the morning show. And that would be good for me.
Okay. I'm not going to respond to your commands.
Oh, Kenny. Okay.
Not even on your birthday, you jerk.
Hey Kyle, did you know that Nest is rejoining Google to become better competing with Amazon and Apple?
I don't
become better competing, by the way. That's the word.
Right. To become better at competing. They were doing they were doing a poor job of competing.
Yes.
And now they are more able to compete with those companies. I don't know about that. Basically,
Google did acquire Nest.
Yeah. A while back.
And they kind of acted as a separate entity because they had their own thing, right? They had their own thing going on with the thermostats and the CO2 testing and all this, and the smoke alarms, I believe, too, right?
They have the smoke alarms, yeah.
And so they had you know, a bunch of home integration things, but now they're kind of the small competitor. They really tough if you want. I mean, they have an established market, they have an established product, but it's really tough to compete with the notoriety of Amazon and Apple and even Google. But they're part of Google, so they get to kind of join forces here.
Well, the number of these things that they're selling are limited by the number of people who are willing to buy them, clearly. And those are mostly people who are at home. Those are people who probably haven't bought security cameras before or aren't willing to pay that much for a security camera. And you've got to kind of convince them. So by rejoining Google, more than likely what they're trying to do is lower the cost, lower the amount of work that Nest folks who were previously under the Alphabet subsidiary move them back into Google and basically make people do two jobs. Split the jobs.
Right.
Make people who already work at Google work for Nest so that they can reduce costs. So
about this.
Listen, the whole point of this is that hopefully this is restoring a little bit of confidence in people who already have Nest products, that they won't just completely disappear and render all of the hardware completely useless. Because they could do that. They could just say,
"That's true.
Nope, we're going to turn off all this stuff. And then what would I do?"
Right. Or, "Hey, we're Google. Give me all the stuff that you just did. We're going to make it better. But all the stuff that you have out right now, no more.
We're going to break it."
Yeah. No, I don't think that's the case.
So we'll see. I'm interested to see what this changes about Nest and whether or not they enter into new markets because of this. They could maybe start rebranding things to be sold at, I don't know, enterprise level. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
It's, we'll see. We'll see.
Okay. Well, Kyle, this is something that I really wanted to cover here. Human Uber lets you pay someone to live your life for you. I saw this a little while ago. I want us to talk about it.
Okay.
A new human. This is quoted human Uber, because Uber is now on the same level as Apple and Google, where you can just kind of use their and Kleenex and what's another one?
I would wipe my nose with Uber if that's what you mean. If that's what you're saying, I would literally wipe my butthole with Uber.
There are products out there like you don't say tissue. Can you pass a tissue, please? No, you say give me a Kleenex. You don't even pass me a Kleenex. Not even may you give me
give
a Kleenex.
It to me. Give me a Kleenex. My nose is runny. That's right.
And
that's right.
What's another product like that? Like you Google Jell-O. Something. You don't search on the internet. You Google something. Jell-O. Is there anything else that's gelatin snacky bit things?
Jell-O jigglers. Remember the Jell-O in a tube?
Why are you taking us off this road here?
Do you remember the Jell-O in the tube?
I do remember the Jell-O
in the tube. Yeah. Pretty gross,
like,
right? It was
like wannabe Go-Gurt. Before Go-Gurt.
But Jell-O.
Xerox? Yeah, we got it from the chat room. Xerox? That's a company. You're making a copy. No, I'm Xeroxing it. That was Mark in the office party.
Gonna make a ditto.
He's not eating the pizza. Anyway, here we go. Uber. Human Uber. That could let you pay someone to live your life for you. Japanese researcher. Go for it, Kyle.
Jun Rekimoto.
I'm just going to defer to you for all of
the names. Wonderful.
Japanese words here. They have developed a special screen that can be strapped to a person's face and allow them to live on your behalf. I love this. I love this idea. It's so lazy. By dressing up as you and having your face shown where theirs usually is, you'll be able to pay someone to go out about your life instead of you. The technology is aimed at allowing someone or a surrogate, that's what those are in quotes, surrogate, actually that's exactly what that is, to live your life for you, wearing your clothes and behaving on your instruction. You, on the other hand, would be able to lounge at home, watching events through your laptop and using its camera to communicate with people your surrogate meets. Okay,
so you just this hired, is, whoa, wow, okay, you hired like a robot to be you. Is this that movie, with the guy with the surrogate movie?
The what?
The surrogate movie. What movie?
No,
hold on.
This is Arrested Development, where George Bluth hires, I can't remember the actor's name, but he hires his surrogate because he's on house arrest, and he hires the surrogate to go out as him, and he has a camera strapped to his forehead so he can watch it, and then he has like a radio in the guy's ear so that the guy would say everything that George Bluth is saying.
Now, see, I like that. I don't like the fact that...
That's what this is!
Yeah, but this person is wearing... If you see the images, the person is wearing a tablet, like, on their face. It seems like a gimmick. Now, if it was like Bruce Willis's Surrogates movie from 2009, rated PG-13, total running time of 1 hour, 29 minutes. If it was like that, maybe I could get behind it. Because I believe... See, I haven't seen this yet. Maybe I need to watch this. But from what I remember, people live in isolation and they interact through surrogate robots. So you're not actually interacting with a human.
I put it in the
to make this happen.
The chat room there.
Oh, great, wonderful. I gotta go click on it.
Yeah, it's just a picture.
Okay. Now, see, that's a lot. That's a lot smarter. I understand this is a television show, and
yes.
But this looks so much better than what you were talking about. That is really good. That's really good.
This was like 2003. This is 15 years ago. And the biggest difference I think here is that your surrogate is wearing a screen on their face, which is a picture of you lounging. It's your face, so that you can go out without your physical body going out there. It's just your face. It's like if I were to go out with this as my screen, and you would go out with this on the thing, and then I would have you walk around. I'd tell you what to do, but then again, you could kind of do whatever you wanted.
Now, would you do this for just like certain circumstances, or would you hire this person full time?
No, I wouldn't do full time. I'd be like, I really don't want to go shopping. Although I can shop online. I don't know.
In-person
I don't know what
shopping.
I need. I don't Maybe know what
you
I
find,
need to do
you
in
find
person.
A, you find a body double so that they can go try clothes on for you and then bring them back to
they
you.
They would need to be. No, they'd have to be my twin who has been eating the same things that I eat.
So we clone you and then we.
Ah, clone!
And then we we feed them kind of like you do for ducks who make foie gras. Just. Right down the throat so that they are the same as you. I've never imagined you as a foie gras duck, but now everything just
now
makes
everyone can.
It just makes so much more sense. It's just
Kyle, those are your headlines. Pizza. Just those are your headlines. Cold pizza, team cold pizza.
I just dropped. Speaking of cold pizza, Kenny, today's national day.
Yeah, what's the day of my birthday?
Today's national day is National Italian Food Day. Or National
Eat Pancake Day.
Or National Eat yesterday? Italian Food Day. No, yesterday was National Biscotti Day. Don't get me started.
What's Pancake Day? Yeah, today's Pancake Day.
That's not true, according to foodamentary.com.
Well, Shrove Tuesday says it's Tuesday, February 13th. Maybe it's just today.
Maybe it could be 2018. It could be the first yeah. Tuesday.
Because National Pancake
Day, the first Tuesday.
National Pancake Day, according to IHOP, is the 27th of this month.
Now, see, that's what I'm talking about.
So we're only gonna if you are celebrating National Food Days with us, it's only what Kyle says. Don't
that's
listen
right.
to me.
Don't listen.
Yeah. Don't ever. Listen to me. It's ever. Kyle's.
That's right.
Call.
It's my show.
And it's Italian food. Just all Italian food.
Well,
that has ever existed.
The chat room saying just put mozzarella on the pancake and split the difference. Yeah, I mean,
No.
It's kind of like a pizza. What if you made a pizza with a pancake?
Oh my God.
As the dough.
Oh no.
What if it's savory?
Like marinara slathered on.
onto the pancake. Then some cheese. And you pour that melted cheese on top.
Whoa. Bake it.
All right. So let me tell you a little bit about National Italian Food Day.
Are you going to tell me the history of Italy?
I might. If you've taken a look at the notes, I'm going to tell you a little bit about some of the essential ingredients in Italian food. Kenny, they include olive oil, garlic, basil, oregano, mozzarella. Ricotta, Parmigiana, capers, tomatoes, sausage, and of course, pasta.
We went through some very Italian sounding words. Then capers.
Have you ever watched Giada?
Yes, Giada at home.
And that's precisely who I was attempting to channel at that moment.
Yes, she tries. It's like. She wants to make it sound effortless.
Oh, no, Kenny. Says, oh, no, she's coming back through. Mozzarella.
and then she...
Parmigiano Reggiano.
Tomatoes.
Tomato.
like really, really whitewash. Mm-hmm. Just no accent. But when it's Italian, it's got to be authentic.
Well, the thing is, I'm not an authentic Italian. That's
neither am I.
Probably my problem, Kenny. But speaking of tomatoes, which are a prime ingredient in most of Italian cooking, it was not until the 1700s that tomatoes were first found in Italian dishes. So they don't really have that long of a history of using tomatoes in their dishes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, tomatoes originated from the Andes. Basically,
who?
Kind of Andes, like the mints, where you've got Peru and Bolivia. There's minty tomatoes, Bolivia, Chile, and Ecuador. And in those regions, they were grown wild. They were first cultivated.
Can you speed this up a little bit?
They were first cultivated by the Aztecs and the Incas as early as 700 AD. That's when they found the tomatoes and decided, I'm going to make a pasta out of this. First, I need to invent pasta, and then we'll make a pasta out of this. Tomatoes then...
Peruvian pasta.
That's right. Tomatoes then didn't arrive into Europe until the 16th century, but they don't really know how it got there. Aliens? Question mark? I'll let you decide.
Aliens! Alien tomatoes!
But first, let's say they were first cultivated when they were yellow. We're going back. 780.
Okay.
Tomatoes are yellow.
Uber. They got over there by Uber.
Tomatoes were yellow. They were cherry sized. And they basically called them golden apples, which in French, they're called palmes d'amour, which are love apples. I found out. So there are other shows on the goodstuff.fm podcasting network where they've talked about ground apples, which are basically the name for potatoes in France. I think French people got real interested in apples and then decided to say
everything's
an apple, but it's the apples are put in different places. That's a love apple. That's a ground apple.
France is really. They're really known for their wine, but they don't call them grapes. They're vine apples.
In France, they also have cheese a lot of really stinky those dairy cheese. Apples? Yeah, they're actually those are cow apples.
No, we don't want to talk about cow apples. Especially male cow apples.
All right, so here's an interesting fact, though, about tomatoes. Legend has it that the first tomato to be eaten in the United States was consumed in a public demonstration by John Gibbon in Salem, Massachusetts, on September...
Witch! He's a witch!
That's right. Salem...
He ate the ground apple! Golden apple!
This was in 1830. Despite the warnings that it's poison and would turn his blood to acid, he did not fall on the ground or... You know, nothing happened. It was just a tomato. And then we made pizza.
And he held it in his hand like an apple. He took a big bite of it, just like kind of smushed. And he's like,
Well, there, no,
he just looked at the crowd and was like, yeah, it's all right, I guess. I'd rather have an apple.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's pretty good. I like that history lesson. It's good. Everything's an apple.
So I guess the point is, Kenny, go get some Italian food today. Go cook some Italian food. Make sure your pasta's al dente, if you know what I mean. And enjoy your Italian food day. Would you?
Well, it's also my birthday, so
it's all
pizza.
You can also enjoy your birthday. You can do whatever you want. Tell me how we enjoyed your birthday, though, Kenny. What did we do this weekend?
Hey, I went down to the L.A. area, and you and I and our two wives went to Universal Studios Hollywood for the first time ever. First time ever.
Mm-hmm.
If you're watching the stream or the video on demand, you can see I'm a Disneyland person. I'm wearing my Disneyland sweatshirt right now. And we've talked about it on the show. Disneyland's great. We like to go there. But this time, we went to the seemingly more grown-up version of a theme park, which was Universal Studios Hollywood. I got to say that because every time I say the word Universal Studios, I want to say Orlando, because that's how it was at the end of every Nickelodeon episode.
You get to go to Universal Studios Orlando.
Yeah, it was. It was that. And then you saw that big, you saw the Nickelodeon Studios and then you saw the big planet. Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so we went there and we had no expectation. Like, we didn't know what any of the rides were. We didn't know what any of the food. I mean, you knew a couple of the food places where we ate Pink's hot dogs. Mm-hmm. Right. That's a
which you had place. Never had. Yeah, we didn't right. go to Hollywood. We didn't go anywhere close to downtown for those. It's so convenient to get Pink's from just a vat of dogs.
Yeah, and
just sitting
and
there
had,
ready to
they
go.
They had something on the menu. It was a burrito dog, where they had hot dogs inside of a burrito. And Kyle and I both passed up for I don't know what reason, but we were like, well, you know. We'll pass on that. We'll just get a regular chili dog or whatever. And then someone at the table next to us got one of those burrito dogs. And Kyle's
over.
Face blew up when he saw. He just looked over and went. It was four hot dogs inside this burrito.
Just stuffed. Stuffed inside the hot dog. The burrito I wanted. I want it really bad.
You live down there. You can go get it anytime you want.
You know how far that is away from me? You know.
It doesn't matter. It's four hot dogs and a burrito.
Yeah.
Who cares? Anyway, so we went on a few rides. I don't know what your favorite ride was. I think we both chose the last ride of the night. It was Return of the Mummy.
I would definitely say that was, yeah, it's not a question mark. It was for sure a roller coaster. That was probably one of my favorite rides. I do want to cover the Jurassic Park ride, which we went on. I think that was the second one we went on.
Second.
Yeah. So we did the Transformers
4D, which was awesome.
Did that one first, which was good. Just a lot of 3D elements, like surprisingly, you know, put on the glasses, you look at a screen and it's a ride. It super duper messed me up with like my perception of what is happening on a screen versus where we're moving and stuff like that. But anyway, that was Transformers. The Jurassic Park ride was great. I loved that. I loved like going on the boat, which is basically like the same as the Pirates of the Caribbean boat. But with a lap restraint, which I would love on Pirates of the Caribbean. I always feel like I'm a fallout of Pirates. But
so why did we have a lap restraint, Kyle?
Well, because I believe it goes down like 80 feet from the top of the thing down. The
top of basically a waterfall.
Yeah. It's basically a waterfall and the T-Rex is coming over the
top.
That
was intense.
It was so.
It felt like we were dropping forever.
Yes, it did. It really, really did. But it was that like quintessential Universal Studios shot of the boat coming down and going, and then all the water goes on. It was
T-Rexes.
So much fun. I had a good time.
It was really fun. We went to the Harry Potter Wizarding World of Harry Potter area, and we went on the ride that was there, which was bonkers as well. We also discovered if you go in a group of four, that's perfect. Go if you ever go to Universal Studios, probably Hollywood or Orlando, go in a group of four. Oh, that's eight. I'm holding up eight fingers. Go in a group of four.
Yeah, put up those down.
Because a lot of the rides have rows of four. And
it's made for that. Yeah.
It really is. And the opposite of Disneyland. Disneyland is better for groups of two. Lots of the especially the smaller rides or the Fantasyland rides and stuff like that. And roller coasters, those are in rows of two. So
I'm going to give you a tiny bit of a math lesson. You can split four into two.
I understand that.
And it still works.
What I'm saying is,
more convenient. You didn't need to sit next to people you didn't know yet. Because we did that. I'll move on. We did do that for the Mummy ride.
And I hated the people we sat next to. Gosh.
Yeah, it wasn't
stupid.
You were sitting next to me that ride.
I'm kidding.
Just for the record.
No, that ride was so cool, Kyle. It went forward and backward and the Beatles and the feet. Ah!
I don't want to spoil. If you've never been, just go for that ride. I'm not really a roller coaster nerd like you are, but that was most probably my favorite ride of all time, because it was so surprising and so much fun.
And we went on the backlot tour, and we saw lots of the backlot of Universal Studios and all the sound stages, and then the practical stages where they have like cityscapes and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Really ruining the magic of television.
Yeah. It didn't seem real. Like when we were going back there, obviously the whole point is it's not real, but right. It didn't even seem like it was used for shows or movies. It seemed like it was a recreation of what you see in a show or a movie.
Yeah.
Which,
but why would they build it?
They wouldn't. It is a misconception or a misperception of
what we saw. Point the camera in a certain angle and you don't see any of that other stuff. You don't even see the car driving by. So that was cool. I really liked that. And Kyle got every ride at Universal Studios has water somehow. And Kyle kept getting water in the face. And it was really funny.
There's a lot of water. I don't know why there's so much water. Oh, and my wife got
blasted by a dinosaur.
Yeah.
At the end of the Jurassic Park ride. It was basically
like Newman. Just
right, Newman with the spiky of the dinosaur where he spits in his face. Well, it wasn't like that black tar. It was just water. And she wasn't looking at the water jet, and it just got her right in the glasses. If she wasn't wearing glasses, she would be blind today.
Probably, yeah. Yeah. It would also have been
bacteria-ridden water just blasting in your face.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Totally. I don't think it's... Totally. I doubt they have bacteria, but it's just, you know... It's
Jurassic Park, Kyle.
You know what? It's actually... It's
dinosaur bacteria.
Dinosaur mouthwash.
Yeah.
So that was our day on Saturday, and then we spent the rest of the time after Universal Studios eating pizza and eating food.
Yes. Oh, we went to a great pizza place.
And then continuing to eat food.
Yeah, this pizza place, what was it, 786 degrees pizza, something like that?
Yeah. So let me just say that the rest of this episode is going to be hyper local LA comedy ? Let's say, yeah, at this point.
It was just great because we had never been there before, so we were new customers. And the way that they treat new customers is they say, oh, no, order whatever pieces you want. You don't pay now. We want you to enjoy the pizza. And then if you like it, then you can pay. What? That sounds like a scam. But it was so good.
Yeah,
that pizza was so... I would gladly pay extra for that pizza. It was so good.
It had, we got a pepperoni pizza from there, and it had some of the tiniest peps I've ever seen in my life.
It was like it was like they chopped up a teriyaki stick of pepperoni.
I was gonna say, like, if you made a pepperoni pizza with a Slim Jim, that's what it would be. It would just be like like Slim Jim rounds on a pizza.
But it was so good.
It was so good. Very, very good. On Sunday, then we also continued to stuff our faces. We went and had breakfast. I had a tasty breakfast and waited a little while in a line for that. Everything in LA has lines, which just you kind of have.
Even the freeways have lines.
Even the freeways have lines. The restrooms have lines. The hot dogs have lines. The zebras have lines. And then we after breakfast we went to a place called Smorgasburg, which I believe started in New York, then moved out to LA.
Mm-hmm.
It's a play on the word smorgasbord, but
right.
The idea is you get a bunch of food vendors into this like abandoned warehouse parking lot, and you're on a blacktop and you get kind of cooked, and you go to a whole bunch of different food vendors. Most of the food vendors here don't have a food truck or a place outside of this event on Sundays.
No establishment beyond this.
Right, exactly. No brick and mortar, none of that. It's just at this place between the hours of 10 and 4 on a Sunday, you know, once a week.
But it is busy.
It is really busy. Super, super busy. You're touching lots of things as you're trying to maneuver through here, and everything's hot. Everything's really hot. But the interesting part was, one, you had a bunch of food that you really, really enjoyed.
Mm-hmm.
And two, I'll let you tell us about those in a moment. And two, because these places are sort of, you know, super unique and only exist at Smorgasburg, they had some pretty cool names. And Kenny, I'm going to turn those names into a game for you, because there were a lot of them. There's got to be like 60 to 80 vendors at this event. Mm-hmm. There's no way that you were able to catalog all those different punny names in your brain during our like less than two hour stay at Smorgasburg. So I'm going to quiz you to see if you remember which ones are real Smorgasburg restaurant tents stands. Let's call them Smorgasburg stands or not. Now, tell me a little bit about the dish that you enjoyed the most.
The dish I enjoyed the most. Oh, it was from, what was it called? Like Bandaloria or something like that. See, I don't even remember what my favorite tent was or my favorite stand was. They do have a brick and mortar restaurant. And it was a chicken and waffle cone. So it was a waffle cone, a soft waffle cone with maple syrup tossed fried chicken bits in the middle, topped with powdered sugar and strawberries. Oh, so good. And the maple syrup was Whiskey Pig whiskey branded maple syrup. So they used the Whiskey Pig whiskey barrels to age maple syrup. What? Oh, I want it so bad. I want it right now.
So if you can just imagine the most LA-ish LA place, this is it. This is it. Quintessential.
Definitely. Posh, hipster.
Yeah.
Fine eats.
That's right. So what we're going to do is we're going to play a game of Smorgasburg stand or not. Kenny, are you ready?
Yes.
All right. Here we go.
Is it a smorgasburg? That yummy scrumptious tasting smorgasburg. Where any ethnic food can be a sandwich or taco sandwich has an enormous line. And any burrito is filled with Cheetos if you have room in your stomach by then. Is it a smorgasburg? You may not have one in your neighborhood, but if you think that you can eat a lobster, go see a doctor. Everything looks so good. Fill up in half an hour, it's rather downward.
Is it
or not?
Is it
or not? Is it a
stand
at Smorgasburg or not?
That's right, Kenny.
Oh, my God.
It is time for us to play a round of Smorgasburg stand or not. I'm going to read a name of a Smorgasburg stand, and you will need to guess if it is real or not.
Okay.
All right, number one. Number one, Kenny. Shrimp Daddy.
Shrimp Daddy.
Smorgasburg stand or not?
I was gonna say, are you gonna tell me what they sell at the Shrimp Daddy, but or at the stand? But it's clear.
I mean, yes, I can. I will absolutely tell you. Let me expand all these.
I mean, you could. Yeah,
I will tell you.
You have some details, or I mean, it could be based purely on the name of the stand, and I'll try to my best.
All right, Shrimp Daddy.
I'm going to say that it is real.
That is correct. I will put a link into the show notes for that. Most of these are Instagram accounts because they don't have a real business page.
There you go.
Kenny, number two, Burgatory.
Burgatory. I feel like that one I would have noticed. And we would have been really laughing at that pun. So I'm going to say no. Not real.
You're right. It is It's a chain of Pennsylvania restaurants, burger joints, I guess.
Yeah. No Pennsylvania smorgasburg here.
No, that's correct. Number three, Amaze Bowls. Smorgasburg or not. Yeah, Amaze Bowls.
Oh, bowls. Like Amaze Bowls. Like a bowl of something.
Amaze Bowls. Yes,
that is real. I remember that one.
That is correct. All right.
I think you misjudged my earlier statement when you and I were together. You said, hey, you can't remember all of these tents. And I said, Kyle, I just might.
We've got 20 of these to go through. So right, buckle up. Buckle up, Buttercup. Sweet and Hollow.
Sweet and Hollow?
Smorgasburg or not.
That sounds awful. But we did see a tent that had like a hollow churro thing. Oh, that looks so good. I wanted to get it. And you looked at me and you're like, whatever. Ooh, it doesn't look that good. But I'm going to say it's real.
I'm going to make my camera blurry so you can't see my facial reactions here. You're going to say that's real? That's correct. Actually, you know what? No, I'm turning the camera. All right. You can't see me now.
You can turn off the camera, right?
Yeah. No, I would have to go around and unplug it.
No, like you on the thing, you can put cam off.
Listen, I'm not going to deal with this right now. No, number five, Basic Needs Pizza. Smorgasburg or not.
There were only a few pizza places. Basic Needs. I don't remember Basic Needs Pizza. And it would be like kneading, like you're kneading the dough, right?
K-N-E-A-D-S.
Right. Yeah. A good spelling there, Kyle. I'm going to say not at Smorgasburg.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. I can see Bumble, you smiling, by the way.
But nobody else can see what you see. Bumble crumpets. No,
I know. It's really funny. What is it? Was it that one? What?
Bumble crumpets. Smorgasburg or not.
Oh, boy. I don't remember that at all. Bumble crumpets. What was it? What would it be like honey pastry, like organic honey pastry, probably vegan honey pastries. Boring, but it sounds super LA.
Vegan? I don't know about that. You're sort of stealing. I guess it is. You're stealing the bee butt, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to say not at Smorgasburg.
Oh! Incorrect. Boom. Got it. I gotcha.
It's because I couldn't see your face.
That's right. Next one, Kenny. Dump truck.
Dump truck. I don't. That was a dumpster. Never mind. Let's say not real. Or not Smorgasburg.
Okay. All right. I mean, it is real. It is in Portland, Oregon, right. And they make dumplings.
I'll do my best to remember not Smorgasburg.
Yes. Thank you. Okay. Kenny, next one. Golden Clouds.
How boring a name is Golden Clouds?
Well, you know what comes out of the Golden Clouds are golden showers. Bing!
Well,
I'll give myself that one.
See, now, if that's the first place that your mind goes,
uh-huh.
I don't want to go to a food place called Golden Clouds. What do you guys sell? Let me tell you. Yeah, let's say not Smorgasburg.
Not. That is incorrect. They make like little puffy waffle looking things.
Oh, was that the one where they had like the unicorn waffle thing?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Kenny, next one. Bohemian Kitten Vintage. Smorgasburg like or not.
Bohemian, what was it?
Bohemian Kitten Vintage.
Kitten Vintage. Yeah, I'm going to say not Smorgasburg. Oh, what?
That is absolutely real. Go look at it in the show notes. I'll just send you a link later. What? I will send you. No, don't expand. Don't you dare expand.
He said, look at it in the show notes.
I will show you later in the show notes what that later. Is.
I got to wait. Right.
Next one, Kenny.
Kittens.
There are no kittens. At least not the the feline kind. Kenny, next one. Chef Goldblum. Smorgasburg or not?
Not.
All right. Very good.
But that'd be a great place to put it.
But also, Jeff Goldblum, he was in Australia earlier this year serving up sausages from a food truck called Chef Goldblum's.
But what I'm saying is, how good would it be if they put that in LA? Because it'd be more apropos, more appropriate also in LA.
Yeah, sure. It should just be a place, a stand next to the Jurassic Park ride, I think.
Yes,
just
exactly.
Right there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Take out the Panda Express and put Chef Goldblum.
Next one, Chinese Laundry. Smorgasburg or not?
Chinese Laundry. I feel like, man, I'm going to say not. Oh, what?
This is so much better when you can't see my face. That is absolutely.
What do they sell at Chinese Laundry? Do they just sell Chinese Laundry?
Yes, it's clothing mostly. No, it says Chinese Classics Reimagined. You can get, I don't know if you saw, there was like a fork that was floating in the air above some noodles. Anyway, go look at this.
Wait, like show notes. In reality or on in the stand?
Nope, in reality. when you get your dish, the noodles are like floating in the air. It's it's very cool. Very cool. Sure. Kenny, next one, sure. Ugly Drum.
Ugly Drum. Ugly Drum. What do they sell? Ugly drums? Again, why would you name your stand something that's kind of off-putting? Yeah, I'm going to say not. Not Smorgasburg. Ah, what?
So this is where I got my pastrami burnt ends. And my,
that was called Ugly Drum?
That's right. And I got my bread ends there.
Oh, that's right!
So it was like the burnt end parts of the brisket that they made the pastrami with. And then the like round bowl of bread. You cut off just the crusty bits at the end. And you sell those together. It was amazing. So good. I can't believe you don't remember that. Can't believe it. Kenny, next one. Flossy. Smorgasburg or not?
Say that one again. You kind of cut out.
Flossy.
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 Flossy. Flossy. February Flossy. Not. What do they sell? Floss?
Instagram.com/theflossyposse. They make, I believe, cookies. Oh, it's shoe pastry. Excuse me. Shoe pastry.
What? Shoe pastry? Like,
yeah.
I want a croissant for my shoe.
No, like C-H-O-U-X. Shoe pastry.
What is that?
This is so much fun. I'm like having such a great time. I'm really enjoying my time here in making you get these wrong. Kenny, next one.
Sure.
Creeping around.
Creeping around. Ugh, no, there were no crepe places.
It's a gourmet crepe truck that is operating in Los Angeles, but they were not at this event.
Yeah, I would have remembered a crepe place.
All right, next one. Donut Friend.
Donut Friend. Ah, man. There was that one donut place or donut stand. Was it called Donut Friend? That sounds really familiar. I'm going to say yes.
That is correct. They had donuts.
They had donuts, but
believe it or not, you couldn't buy friends, but you could buy donuts.
The donut is your friend.
Next one.
Hi, Sprinkles.
I don't like that. Grillennium Falcon. Smorgasburg or not?
No, no. I would have figured that out. I would have danced my way over to that one.
I just wanted to tell you about this one. They're in Arkansas. They've got grilled cheese sandwiches that are pretty good. I hear they're a little chewy though. Kenny, next one, Hamburgini.
Smorgasburg
or not?
Is that like Oh, is that like hamburger helper at a stand?
Like Lambo. but you order a hambo.
I'm gonna say no. Not at Smorgasburg.
Yeah, you're right. Okay. All right. They are in LA though. So if you ever find Hamburgini,
that doesn't fit with the rest of the feel of that place.
Yeah. All right. All right.
even the barbecue stands that they had there didn't really fit.
Three more. Daddy's Chicken Shack.
Daddy's Chicken Shack. I know there were a few fried chicken places.
Mm-hmm.
What is it called? Daddy's Chicken Shack?
Daddy's Chicken Shack.
Let's say it. Yeah, real.
You're right. Yes, it is real.
Uh-huh, yeah.
I hear the chicken is pretty good there. Kenny, next one. Guac and roll.
Guac and roll. Another Smorgasburg pun?
Or not?
That is almost too good for Smorgasburg. So I'm going to say no.
All right. Getting back here. All right. All right. Yeah. All right. Last one.
If I go
one.
Faster, if I act on my first instinct, then it's better.
Sure. Sure. Maybe you'll get this one wrong. Last one, Kenny.
Yeah.
Plant puns.
Plant puns?
Smorgasburg or not?
Like just completely giving up on trying to come up with a plant pun and merely calling your stand plant puns.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's real.
That is correct. They seem to sell a bunch of pottery and other stuff with puns on them.
I remember seeing that one. I remember seeing that.
Spruce Springsteen.
Ah, that's pretty good.
Aloe you very much.
That's how you say it.
the choys are Bach in town.
Okay. All right.
You had me at aloe.
It's
a lot of succulents, I guess. I'll be Bach.
That's better. That's much better.
Okay. So there you go, Kenny. That's how you play a round of Smorgasburg, stand or not. For those of you who are not in LA, I apologize for our hyper local comedy, but I hope you enjoyed it as well. That's it. That's our full day, a full show, 381 for your birthday. I hope you enjoyed it.
I did.
Do you need me to do anything else? You want anything else on your birthday? What else can I cram here into the end of the show?
Nothing.
Nothing. Great. What about me telling listeners that they can go over to goodstuff.fm/morningshow and
No, you don't have to say that.
Okay, I won't say that one. what about checking out the other shows on goodstuff.fm? Do you think they would care about that? Do you care about that?
They should care about other shows. Yes. Please. Check out the other good shows on Good Stuff.
Okay. Oh yes, we've never said it that way, but now we will forever. Good Stuff. You can also tell us whether or not you enjoyed this by tweeting at us at @MorningShowAM on Twitter or using the hashtag #TeamColdPizza. We'll see it that way as well. That's it. All right.
Conclusion.
We'll be back again. Next week? Sometime.
Yeah.
It's always a question mark for us, but eventually we'll get this right and be able to just tell you with certainty what we're doing and when we're doing it. Same time next week, Kenny.
Indeed. Happy birthday. Thank you.
Bye. Cha-cha-cha!